we understand clearly who He is. And as we sang tonight, my heart was just overflowing again because we are revelational people. Everyone say, we are revelational people. We are revelational people. The days of rational is over. We are revelational people. We see clearer than other folks see, and we understand more because we look not through human eyes, but we look through God's eyes. And let me say to you tonight that whenever God chooses to do something great, everybody say great. Whenever God chooses to do something great, this great God of the universe, because He is first and foremost an awesome God, He plans big plans. He plans great plans. I submit to you tonight, if you're involved in anything and it's not big, it's probably not God. Because God is a big God. God is a big God. Come on, little thinker, I've got news for you. God is a big God, and He is in the business of doing great things. Come on, how many believe that God is a big God? How many really believe tonight that God is a big God? One more time up in the balcony, do you believe that God is a big God? Choir, do you believe that God is a big God? Then we need to fall out of our pews with excitement because God's doing something big in the earth. Genesis chapter 18, we'll not take time to read it, but God, this big God, chose a man. Everybody say a man. He chose a man, not an angel, not a seraphim. God chose a man by the name of Abram from a place that we would have never known anything about. It was called Ur of the Chaldees. God went down to Ur of the Chaldees on a normal day and started looking around because He was a big God getting ready to do something big. And He needed somebody who would connect with Him. Oh man, He needed somebody who would link up with Him to get the job done. United Pentecostal Church, apostolics in my audience tonight, God walks through because of the times, and He's still looking for a man that will say, God, if you're wanting to do something, here I am, here I am, here I am. He found Abram. And the call of God went out to Abram. And we know the passage well. Abram obeyed the call of God, stepped out in faith, and started on an incredible journey. God began working with him. God began making promises to him. And it blows our minds tonight when we understand the dynamics of the relationship that God had with Abram. The Bible tells us, and it still boggles my mind, amen, the Bible tells us that God spoke to Abraham about a nation, about the nation. Oh, how does God talk to a man about a nation? But God said, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. He said, out of you, amen, there are going to be stars of the heaven and sands like the sea, amen, like the sands of the seashore. And Abraham said, yes. And the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God. He believed God, and it was imputed unto him for what? It was imputed unto him for righteousness. How does God impute righteousness to a dude who hadn't even done anything? God counts him as righteous. He imputes righteousness to him, not before he is circumcised, amen, before he's circumcised, amen, not after he is circumcised, but before his circumcision. God says, I'm imputing righteousness to you. I want to tell you something. We still have a little ways to go to understand, amen, what God is doing in the earth. We still have a ways to go. I want to tell you something tonight. God is not man. God is not man. God's not Chester Mitchell. He can do anything he very well chooses to do. And if there's some preacher in this building tonight, and you say, Brother Mitchell, I don't have a whole lot. I don't know a whole lot, but I have faith. Then get up, my brother, because God is getting ready to do an awesome work in your life. He believed. Everybody said, he believed. I believe for revival. I believe for signs. I believe for wonders. I believe that demons will be cast out. What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe anything? Look at him and say, what do you believe? Come on, rough him up. Say, what do you believe? Come on, slap your other name and say, what do you believe? God is sick and tired. Amen. There are generic Christians who don't believe anything. We're just simply going through the motions. God's looking for another Abraham that would say, God, if you say so, then I believe. I believe. I believe. I still believe that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe that. I still believe it shall come to pass in the last days. Saith God, lift your hands. That I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, upon all flesh. Brazilian flesh, my Brazilian brothers, he's going to pour it out upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions on servants and on handmaidens. I'll pour out in those days of my spirit and they shall prophesy. Churches are going to spring up in places where there have been no churches. Revival's going to break out. The glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. I believe that. God decides in Genesis 18 to pay Abraham a visit. He brings a couple of his strong fellows with him. Abraham runs out, gets to doing the thing that they do in the Middle East. He does the hospitality thing. God speaks the word that Sarah is going to conceive. Sarah hears it in the tent. She gets to laughing. You be careful what you laugh about. The two angels walk off. And God is getting ready to leave. And something comes over God. He says, I have a covenant partner here, and I'm getting ready to do something. And before I go to do it, I'm going to run it by my covenant partner and see what he thinks about it. God says, everybody say, God says, God says, I will not hide from Abraham the thing that I'm getting ready to do. The thing that Abraham is going to be a great nation. Furthermore, he said, I know Abraham. He said, I know him, that he's going to command his children after him, even to walk in my laws and in my truths. So God said, Abraham, I'm getting ready to go down to Sodom. And I'm getting ready to destroy the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I just wanted to run it by you. Everybody come up here. You come up here. Yeah, that's you. And right next to him, come up here. Man, this is your lucky night. You're God. You're Abraham. Stand in front of him. Handsome looking God here. He said, I'm getting ready to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible tells us that when Abraham heard it, the Bible tells us that Abraham stood before the Lord. One translation says he stood in the path of God, blocking his way. And God said, Abraham, I just wanted to run it by you. Even I'm on my way down there. And the Bible said, Abraham said, hold. And God said, Abraham, you don't understand. I got to go. Sodom's fixing to burn. And Abraham said, hold on. Put both of your hands on it. Come on, God, move forward. Come on, you yell, hold.
Hold it.
I got to go.
Hold it.
Hold it. I got to go.
Hold it, wait.
I got to go, Abram.
No, hold it. Hold it, wait.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, are you saying, Brother Mitchell, that that little old Abraham held on to God and kept him from going? Here's what I'm telling you. When you are in covenant relationship with God, when you are connected with the Father, when you are in covenant, come on, everybody lift your hand and say covenant. Come on, everybody say covenant. When you are in covenant with the Father, things just don't happen out of your control. Here's the word of the Lord for some of you tonight. You have more influence with God than you think you have. You have more influence with God than you think you have. Come on, Abraham. Why didn't you tell him to hold?
Hold it.
One more time.
Hold it.
Why don't you say to God, hold on, God. The devil is trying to steal my kids. Hold on, God. My church hasn't had revival in a lot of years. Does anybody tonight want to tell God, hold on, hold on, hold on. My kids are not going to be lost to the devil. My church is not going under. My ministry is not bankrupt. Hold on. Hold on. Because I have more influence with God than I think I've got. I'm preaching to you tonight. Before you throw in the towel, you have more influence with God than you think you have. Before you walk away, you have more influence with God than you think you've got. Come on, sit right down here. Sit right there. Right on that steps. Sit right there. Sit down, God. Here we are, and because of the times, 2005. You know, Think with me for a moment. Preachers, preachers' wives, evangelists. No matter how hard, pastors, we preach, there's that understanding, God, some things are just going to happen. Somebody's going to backslide. Somebody is going to walk through a divorce. Somebody is going to have a moral meltdown. We don't want to get negative. But things do happen. I'm telling you, my heart is broken when I look around sometimes and I see preachers. Some of you are my friends. And I can tell that you're at wit's end. And you're thinking, you know what? It's happening at the Mangan's place. And it's happening down the road in Dallas. It's happening over here. But it's not happening at my place. Several days before Christmas, Sister Mitchell, God gave her a vision. She woke up in the morning and she said, "I'm troubled." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Here's what I see." She said, I see a massive wall of water coming out of the ocean." And she said, "There is going to be massive, massive destruction." I said, "You saw that?" She said, "Yeah." She went to prayer. Many times I'd hear her praying and just asking the Lord what it meant. And sure enough, that wall of water came out of the ocean. I read today on the internet, 226,000 people are gone. Just like that. Here's what bothered me personally about it. I was bothered by the fact, Bishop Tenney, that I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I was bothered by the fact that I am just problemed out. And I didn't know how to plug in to something that big. I was bothered because it seemed to me, Sister Mangan, that I should have been weeping and wailing about it. But I couldn't seem to find it to go there emotionally again. You see, we are now a post-September the 11th generation. I got to reading a couple of days later that those in the field of medicine and those that study human behavior say that there is now what's called compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue. Those that work, think about it. The emergency room doctor who goes in and realizes that tonight I'll save this one, but a couple of hours later I won't be able to save that one. The firefighter who reaches in, amen, and realizes I only have enough time to pull one of them out, amen, and the other one I'm going to lose, amen. The nurse that understands, amen, that I'm not going to be able, amen, to save them all, amen, not over a day or a week or over a month, sometimes years. What sets in is what they now call compassion fatigue. It is the inability to enter in and understand that no matter, amen, how many I lose, amen, still I have an awesome responsibility to reach him there one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. You're wore out and you've come to because of the time and you're down. Mrs. Preacher's wife, your hair's falling out. But I've come to tell you, God's got a word for you. You have more influence with God than you think you have. You have more influence with God than you think you have. Apostolics at large, oh my God, let's not get tired of reaching one more, and then one more, and then one more, and then one more, and then one more. Come on, get on your feet here with me. Come on, hold up your finger. God, hold it. Come on, hold that finger up. You are the judge of the earth. You're going to do what's right. You hold on before you go off, amen, destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. We're connected, God. We're covenant partners. I want to talk to you about Sodom. I'm telling you, we got to go to weeping and prayer and asking God, God, you're not going to let my city go to hell without a confrontation between me and you. My world, my city, my kids, my grandkids are not going to be lost without a divine. Come on. If hell's got your kids by the neck, reach out tonight and put your hand on God and say, hold on. There's still power in the blood. If your church is not having revival before you quit, amen, and make excuses about God's calling you to someplace else, put your hand on God tonight. What about a 50-soul revival? What about a 50-soul revival? Okay, what about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? My God, what about 10? You know what I believe? I believe God got in a groove with Abraham and he said, Abraham, you've got me where you want me. Just ask. Just ask. For the hell, let's ask him for the nations of the world. Let's ask him for the nations of the world. Let's ask him for Africa. Let's ask him for Asia. You have more influence with God than you think you have. 9 years ago, Sister Mitchell and I were getting ready to go to Washington, D.C. And the Prince of Washington laughed at us and said, here comes Chester Mitchell and Marion Mitchell. We're going to destroy them before it's over. They won't believe nothing. They'll lose their ministry. They'll lose their anointing. They'll lose their doctrine. And so we walked into the suburbs of Washington, D.C. And all the time hell was laughing and said, amen, there's not going to be any church built out here in the name of the Lord. But I have a covenant partner and his name is Jesus. I have a covenant partner and his name is Jesus. Amen. Sister Penny, lift your hands. Amen. in a meeting in St. Louis. The beloved fetus, Tenny, walked into the room. She said, Chester and Marion, she said, let me tell you something. Amen. She said, I'm going to marshal an army of intercessors, and there will be people praying for you every day. And so Washington, amen, didn't know what hit it, because we have more influence with God than we think we have. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will humble themselves, if they'll fall on their faces. Come on, let intercession hit you tonight. Let intercession hit you tonight. Let intercession hit you up in the balcony for the city that you pastor in. Let intercession hit you tonight for sons and daughters that are backslidden tonight. Let intercession hit you tonight, my preacher friend. Sister preacher, you wore out and you're ready to quit. But I've come to tell you, don't quit yet. You have more influence with God than you think you have. You have more influence with Him than you think you have. Come on. Got any mountains that need to be brought down? Put your hand on God tonight. I'm not talking about some stupid name it and claim it. I'm not talking about some silly situation. Amen. But I'm talking about apostolic business. I'm talking about a world, amen, that's still lost. I'm talking about cities that are still unclaimed. Come on, sir. Put your hand on God and say, God, I want to talk to you. But a man can hear the word of the Lord. God's fixing to give you, amen, apostolic authority in areas where you've not had it. God's fixing to put on you, amen, supernatural, anointed influence. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we are the church, and this is our finest hour. God's fixing to give us supernatural influences, doors that have been closed. Get ready. God's fixing to open them, because we have more influence with God than we think we have. Get ready for a new anointing. Get ready for an apostolic ministry. I speak to some preacher tonight. Get ready for your kids to come back to God. I speak to some preacher's wife tonight. You are not going to have a nervous breakdown. God is delivering someone tonight from compassion fatigue. God's going to put something on you in this conference, and you're going to walk out of here, amen, and people that you've not been able to love, amen, in your church, God's going to give you a brand new love, a brand new anointing. You are not supposed to burn out. You are supposed to... Come on, lift both of your hands. Musicians, come. Say it with me. I have more influence with God than I think I have. We have influence over principalities. We have influence over powers. We have influence over the rulers of darkness. No weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. God is sending a new day to our ministry, because we have more influence with God than we think we have. Lay your hands on your eyes. Repeat after me. I have anointed eyes. Put your hands on your head. I have an anointed mind. Raise your hands. I have anointed hands. I have more influence with God than I think I have. Quit sucking your thumb. Quit looking pitiful. A few weeks ago, a wonderful pastor that pastors in my city called. I ran into him at the gym. He looked at me. He said, Chester, I need to talk to you. I said, Clancy, let's get together. My secretary called and set up the appointment. This fella, he is a pastor with the local Episcopalian church. He's a priest with the Episcopalian church. They have begun the process of removing themselves from their denomination because of homosexuality. We got together at Starbucks. I sat down. I looked at him. I said, Clancy, I said, what can I do for you? He's an attorney by trade. He knows more than I've forgotten. Tears could well up in his eyes. He said, Chester, he said, I need a mentor. He said, would you help me? Would you help me? Would you help me? He said, could you come over and talk to my staff? He said, could you come over and preach in my church? And I'm leaning across the table and he's crying. And I'm looking. And I'm thinking, I have more influence with God than I think I have. Nori, you called me and told me he had met Nori. He is the bureau chief for two of the leading newspapers in Tokyo, Japan. Brother Hal met him in St. Louis. He sent me an email. He said, Pastor Mitchell, he said, I met Bruce Hal. He told me that you have a church where people receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. He said, I want to see it. Come over. You will see it. And so in walks Nori. He's got his camera. Amen. He's got his notepad. He said, Mr. Mitchell, he said, can I take pictures? I said, take them all. He said, I want to write an article, amen, for the paper, amen, in Tokyo. I want them to know about the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues. Amen. And so he starts clicking away. Amen. People start speaking with tongues. I give the altar call and he's down taking pictures. Amen. And he's writing stuff down. Amen. In Japanese. Amen. And I get done praying and I look over at him and he's laying his camera down. I said, Nori, would you like to try it? He straightens his tie and he said, I think I'd like to try it. Amen. He said, what do I need to do? I said, close your eyes. I said, raise your hands. I said, Nori, the most powerful name in the universe is Jesus. And when you say it, he will come out of nowhere and you will feel him. And so he begins to say, Jesus, Jesus. I said, Nori, I'm going to lay my hands on you and he will come. And so I lay my hands on him. He falls back. His lips begin to stammer. Why? Because we have more influence with God than we think we have. God, open a great door in Japan. Open a great door in Japan. Open a great door in Japan. Come on, lift your hands. Close your eyes. You have more influence with God.